Hey folks, just a quick note to let you know you can now support the podcast by shopping on Amazon.com. Just go to the specific page on Nerdist.com for this episode, click on the Amazon banner, and shop as you normally would, and daddy gets a taste.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Today we've got round one from a show recorded October 13th, 2013 at the Bug Theater in Denver, and I'm going to be back in Denver August 21st, 2014 to kick off the High Plains Comedy Festival at Three Kings. But now let's go back to the last Denver show featuring Christy Buckley, Deacon Gray, Greg Baumhauer, Timmy Lasley, and Robert Rutherford, reading pieces they wrote in advance based upon topics of their choosing. Enjoy. All right, please welcome your first competitor from round one who's come with a prepared piece, Mr. Deacon Gray.
The Avengers assembled in 1963, the child of Kirby the King and Stan the Man Lee. To be honest, it was a great job of lifting from the Justice League, which was in 1960. But where DC filled its league with A-list stars, Marvel filled its roster with a bunch of spare parts. There wasn't a headliner in the entire crew except for the Hulk, who left in issue two. And it really should have been said sooner, nobody gave a shit about Iron Man before Robert Downey Jr. But enough of my bitching, I'm being too nerdy. Let's get to the part where the Avengers are dirty. A demigod, a wife beater, a rage monster, a drunk, and all of them chasing one flying cunt. See, everyone wants Wasp because she does this neat trick where she lands on your dick and she shrinks down to fit. And Thor, who is bi, kind of evens the sides. The God of Thunder doesn't care where he strikes. But while the hammer can be kind of bitchy, he's better than Ant-Man, who just leaves you itchy. Dr. Bruce Banner is good for a pass, but don't make him angry while his dick's in your ass. And you'd think Tony Stark would be super lusty, but the time in the suit has left his dick rusty. So by issue four, they were ready for more, because Thor's always hungry and the Wasp is a whore. So they found Captain America and gave him a thaw, and Thor and the Wasp both fucked him raw. Giant Man didn't like it, but Wasp couldn't hear him because her mouth was full of super soldier serum. This was the 60s, so he gave her a pass, but in the 80s, he went all Chris Brown on her ass. This group lasted a year until Thor's ass was beat and Cap decided it was time for new meat. Since he was the leader and no one could veto, he brought in an ex-con Archer and the kids of Magneto. The Wasp was hot to get Hawkeye and her twat. Finally, someone who can hit the right spot. Hawkeye must be really packing a wad. He's got no powers but fucked every girl on the squad. The girls love a bad boy, especially in bed. He once said this to Wasp while she was giving him head. If it gets too vanilla and the sex is too dull, just pretend I'm a Skrull while I'm fucking your skull. And Quicksilver was quick to jump into thick. He won't be Thor when I'm fucking his dick. That guy is so fast you have to take care. He'll have his dick in your ass before you know that he's there. No one is really sure about the Scarlet Witch's powers. They just know she's a redhead and can fuck you for hours. She has an appetite like you've never seen. The only thing that could please her would be a machine. So fucking nerdy. All right. Yes, the Avengers is a sex club where the members all screw. But not just the heroes. They fuck the villains, too. They fucked Loki and Namor and Zemo and Kang. They fucked the Enchantress in a giant gangbang. They fucked the Masters of Evil and Doctor Doom while Jarvis the butler jerked off in the next room. And the Avengers have never explained why, at a party, they fucked out Nick Fury's eye. By the 70s, the doors to the mansion were open wide, and any horny bitch in spandex was allowed inside. And once Hercules arrived, the orgy was on, with Vision phasing in with a diamond-hard dong. The Black Panther banged the Black Widow, who showed up around year 10. Could somebody explain to me why she was in the movie again? The swordsman didn't live up to his name, and neither did Wonder Man, who was also lame. But Hellcat and Tigra, they sure earned their stripes by putting almost anything into their pipes. Moondragon was covered with mystical fluid from the magical cock of the dread Dr. Druid. And you won't believe this actually happened, but the Falcon was brought in through affirmative action. That's actually true. Now the group is so large, it's hard to keep track of which of the heroes has had who in the sack. And I find myself missing the days of yore when the group flew a Quinjet up Goliath's back door. So through the fucking and sucking, the groaning and moaning, filleting and mating and fatally boning, a shield in your ass, a sting on your prick, fireball semen shooting out of your dick, or you're fucking a monster with the strength of the sun and you're scared that he'll punch you when it's his turn to come. Through the breakups and makeups and waking up screaming.
All right.
That's lost. It's a galore a long time ago. Through the breakups and makeups and waking up screaming. Because you're not dreaming that you've slept with a demon who has blue hair and your goo is in there and you want to fight crime, but who has the time when there's a lady spider who wants your semen inside her. Oh. And on that fair day, the future was shifted. The hopes and boners of mankind were lifted. And the earth, it shook and the galaxy trembled. And all that happened when the Avengers assembled.
Deacon Gray. Nice work, buddy. Keep it going for Timmy Lasley.
This is the sexiest story I could find in the most fictional book ever written. It had been 39 days and 39 nights, and Noah was horny as shit. The floodwaters lapped at the side of the ark like an eager schoolboy. Enthusiastic, but without purpose or direction, this boat was going nowhere. He stood on the deck of the ship he had built according to God's specifications. Countless long, hard wooden shafts had gone into making it. Noah shuddered as he touched his fingertips to the smooth, well-worn surface of the boat. Oh, how he loved the Lord. The wind caressed the long gray locks of pubic hair that enshrouded his Bible-timey cock. He was on top of the ark waiting for that goddamn dove to fly back with proof that there was dry land somewhere. And of course, he was naked. This was Noah's me time. He was 500 years old when he finally had his first child, Japheth. It had taken him that long to work up the courage to fuck his wife, Emzara. Have you ever seen Bible-timey pussy? Correction! Have you ever smelled Bible-timey pussy? This was before soap was invented, and she got nasty down there. Noah dry-heaved at the thought of his wife's hairy, non-washed, jaggedly ripped vagina. Remember, this was before modern medicine, so episiotomies had yet to be invented, and childbirth generally left a woman's love vessel mangled and untouchable. Noah wondered how he would ever be able to repopulate the earth, as was the Lord's command. The Lord. Noah sure did love the Lord. He rooted his hand around in his massive mound of gray and white pubic hair until he found his dick. The memory of Emzara's baby-torn birth canal had left it momentarily wilted, but the mere thought of the Lord and the Lord's huge love of humanity was all Noah needed to make his me time complete. He located his cock and peeled back the foreskin, revealing his 500-year-old member. Yes, Noah had foreskin. This was before the Jews went wandering in the desert, before God commanded the Jews to start cutting off an index card worth of flesh from their genitalia. Indeed, this was before there was even such a thing as Jews, per se, because the Lord had not yet become racist, loving only one people. So Noah's dick was heavy with foreskin. In fact, it was mostly foreskin, the actual shaft of it lost in the folds of flesh like some adorable yet foul-smelling Shar-Pei. Nobody had thought up the term dick cheese yet. So Noah cleared away what he thought of as manna from heaven and began furiously wailing on his dusty old man cock, murmuring, "Oh Lord, my God. Oh Lord, my God. Oh Lord, my God." Maybe tomorrow that goddamn dove would bring good news. That night, down below, Shem, Noah's youngest son, had his eyes locked with the only surviving female unicorn on Earth. He was balls deep in his wife, but his thoughts and his heart were with the majestic creature whose visage loomed before him. He and his wife had just invented reverse cowgirl. Shem had told her that it was just to mix things up a little, baby. The same thing he had told her when they'd started fucking in the unicorn stall 3 weeks ago. But the real reason was that Shem yearned to lie with Mrs. Unicorn in the biblical sense. He hadn't been able to stop thinking about Mrs. Unicorn since he first laid eyes on her. He remembered how she stood on the ramp, her beautiful coat glistening in the sun as she boarded the ark. That very same night, he had stood outside her stall. Mr. Unicorn was up top, getting some fresh air, and they were alone. He had confessed his lust for her, how he longed to ride naked atop the curve of her back, the fleshy folds of his voluminous foreskin, yes, it was a familial trait, cascading over her mane, the two intertwining and becoming one, rider and ridden, indistinguishable in the midst of their frenzied passion. He remembered waiting for her response, and none came. "Please," he begged. "I know I'm just some guy with a crazy huge foreskin, and I could never please a creature as majestic and stately as yourself, but I'll go crazy if I can't have you. I'm supposed to repopulate the earth, but have you seen my wife's vagina? Seriously, that shit is wicked nasty. Nobody's even invented underwear yet, and the smell gets stuck in my clothes and my beard. I can't take it anymore! Please, please, just let me fuck her in front of you. I know I'll be able to gat some kids upon her if I could just look at you while we do it. Please, I'm begging you. Shh, 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 shh. Don't say a word, my love. Just give me one stomp for no, two stomps for yes." He waited breathlessly for her reply, but there had been only silence from the stall beside him. He turned away, dejected, and began walking towards the stairs when there came a timid yet stately stomping of a beautifully manicured hoof. First one stomp, a pause, and then another. His heart leaped with joy and shock. It was on like Donkey Kong. Now here he lay at the foot of his love, his wife atop him, facing away, riding his dick and foreskin, mostly foreskin, like it was her job. Because let's face it, women of the time were basically walking, talking fertility clinics whose battered baby shoots were bought and sold like rice in China. Mrs. Unicorn's dark eyes met his as he shot his husbandly workload into his wife's hairy baby factory. She sighed heavily, her task complete for now, and wandered off through the ark to do whatever it is women did when they weren't being mobile DNA receptacles. Now it was just Shem and Mrs. Unicorn. And he hadn't even softened. His cock was so rock hard, you could actually see the tip of it poking out from behind the incredible folds of his enormous foreskin. He knew this time simply being near the magical creature wouldn't be enough. He took a chance and reached his hand out to Mrs. Unicorn. Her stately head lowered, and she nuzzled his hand all sexy. He came immediately, and with the force of 10,000 floods shooting his hot Bible-timey jizz out of his weird-looking dick, it arced gracefully through the air in hot, passionate strings of sticky and landed directly on Mrs. Unicorn's back. They both stood there aghast. Shem was ashamed and excited all at once. He had defiled something so beautiful it would never be the same again. He knew what he had to do. He grabbed the axe that stood there against the hull of the ark, and he put an end to it. He knew that Mrs. Unicorn would never be defiled again. That thought made him come. He came and he came and he came until the entire stall became a 6-inch deep trough of man-seed unicorn blood mix. Suddenly, the ark shuddered and stopped. After 40 days and 40 nights of gentle rocking, the sudden jolt to the ark was very unsettling and roused Shem from his reverie. He knew what this meant, and he rushed to the top of the ark. The sight of dry land greeted him as he exited, and he sighed. Time to repopulate the earth. Thank you.
Timmy Lasley. Keep it going for Robert Rutherford. There he is.
Mr. Cook, members of the Academy. Before I get started, I want to thank Alice Monroe for her editorial tips. This one's for the comedy nerds. Comedy gangbang. Even hours before his asshole was stretched to the limits of human dermal elasticity by tongues and cocks and microphones and other studio gear, Scott Aukerman felt the day was going to be different. He awoke feeling randy and masturbated in the shower before eating breakfast with his wife and child. As he drove towards the Earwolf Studios, even the gentle vibrations that the engine of his 2012 Jetta sent into his seat kept his kegels, still sensitive from his earlier sudsy sack drain, on red alert. The Earwolf Studios were hot when he arrived, and his engineer Doug informed him that the building had been experiencing power surges all morning and that the air conditioning had been a casualty. Scott headed into the studio to set up. The show's guests arrived shortly after, and he had finished checking levels. Reggie Watts and Paul F. Tompkins strolled into the studio laughing together, and Scott asked what they thought was so funny. Reggie said, "I'm pretty high. And when I saw Paul in the parking lot, I kind of slurred his name. I said, 'Morning, Paul.'" Paul F. Tompkins chuckled. "Ball F. Tompkins." Though he and Reggie both nonchalantly laughed at the mistake, the tip of Scott's prick spasmed with an insistent tickle. See, as Reggie explained his misnomer, Scott had had a brief fantasy in which Paul slowly stripped from his custom-tailored suit at the end of a pier while seagulls played at seaside breezes. In his fantasy, Paul held Scott's gaze like a sensual tractor beam, pulling him in, so clear in the intent of his tease. Scott shook himself out of the reverie when Reggie asked why it was so hot in the studio. Once the three men had taken their places and briefed about the arc of the show, Engineer Doug gave the signal that the mics were hot and they were ready to go. Because of the rising temperatures in the studio, fed by hot amps and mixers and mics, etc., etc., Paul shed his suit jacket and loosened his bow tie. Scott's heart raced as he watched. "What's up, hot dogs? This is Hot Cockerman." And though his mouth kept moving and words kept coming out as he introduced the show and his guests, Scott Aukerman's mind was reeling. Right when he had introduced himself as Hot Cockerman, Paul F. Tompkins had caught his eye, and Scott would be damned to hell if the look Paul was giving him wasn't the same look Scott had fantasized about not 10 minutes prior. He wasn't sure exactly what he was feeling, but it was as real as the pressure his cock was applying to a zipper. Now that the show was underway, Engineer Doug took his leave to see what he could do about fixing the air conditioning. Scott had asked Reggie to do a live version of his looped beatbox intro to the show, so as soon as they had finished with the introductions and previewed what they were going to do on the show, Reggie started in with his signature beats and layered false intro intro. Boom, 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 comedy gangbang, comedy gangbang. And Scott immediately interrupted him. Wait. Did you just say comedy bang, gangbang? Did you just say comedy gangbang? And Reggie looked kind of flustered. "Fuck yeah, I did. I've been doing that all day. Freudian slips. I go to order a latte and it comes out all wrong." Paul chimed in. "Something strange is afoot. To tell you the truth, I am harder than a standardized 8th grade test on evolution offered by the Kansas Board of Evolution." Reggie and Scott had no idea what that meant, but that was Paul F. Tompkins for you. Always the smart one. Scott knew he was among friends, and though he feared what was going to come next, he felt powerless in the grip of his lust. He undid his belt buckle, fidgeted at his zipper, and lowered his pants. Paul, not one to miss an opportunity to impress others with his vocabulary, described Scott's long dick as sesquipedalious as he uncoiled it from his briefs. The three men looked at each other, not sure how to proceed. Paul thought to ask, "Is it the weather?" But before he could finish his sentence, Scott was clawing at his cufflinks and pulling at his collar. Scott pulled his shirt down around his arms and pinned him against his office chair, biting his nipples through his A-shirt. Reggie, slowed slightly by the marijuana, fiddled with his own junk and slowly removed his suspenders while watching the two men gasping into each other's mouths. Foreplay was foregone, and the men were soon plunging their cocks deep into assholes, the sweat in their swampy crotches negating the need for lube. Their sweaty flanks flailed. Paul F. Tompkins' pork piston pounded mercilessly into Reggie Watts' hairy slot, while Reggie in turn tugged at Scott's double-nutted spunk udder. But the podcast continued. They twisted the usual comedy bang bang games into perverted diversions as the show progressed. A challenge issued during Would You Rather found Reggie Watts with two studio mics and a computer mouse inserted fully into his ass while he yodeled over a beatbox sample and bounced on a yoga ball that had been left in the studio by Tim Heidecker the week previously. They also played an extended version of Rap Battle, with not a single rhyme uttered among them. This version instead consisted of each of them in turn rapping their turgid members against the sandtorum bubbling from each of their gaping assholes. The sound was surprising, and when Reggie tapped Paul's dilated butt twat, it sounded just like when you flick your cheek and move your tongue just so, evocative of a drop of water in a bucket. Reggie, of course, heard music in their perversions and recorded a sample of Scott tapping his cock against Paul's hole and subsequently freestyled a rambling but brief rap, cut short when Paul stood up and grabbed Reggie by his hair and shoved his face down onto his cock. Even the resulting slurping and muffled moans displayed an odd musicality, though, and so Reggie simultaneously manipulated Paul's knob and the knobs on his looping pedal, filling the studio with a symphony of suck, one that built steadily towards an incredible crescendo. No! This went on too long, like most podcasts do. The three men writhed around each other and toyed at cocks and holes like a nest of snakes let loose on a malfunctioning whack-a-mole game, pumping and slithering their way towards climax. Scott screamed out that he was almost there and said that the only thing that left to do was the segment that closed every episode of the podcast, plugs. Paul knew what to do. The microphones were already wrecked, so he balled up his fist and pushed it slowly but forcefully into Scott's tattered ass. Scott moaned and stated that he could be seen coming in the next few seconds and let loose a serpentine ribbon of cock snot that flew across Reggie's chest and tangled in his hair. Reggie, in an exhausted heap on the floor, brought himself to quick completion and noted that he had a show next week with Tignataro the following at the Bell House in Brooklyn. Paul released his fist and slithered his hand like a newborn from Scott's shit womb. Scott winced. Paul sighed and noted somewhat ruefully that his monthly show at Largo was not happening next week, but that he had a new episode of the Pod F Tomcast coming up. Scott knew that Paul had not yet come and moved towards him. Paul raised his hand to stop Scott from moving in. A true gentleman needs no recompense for helping out a friend in need. He reached down to gather his cufflinks from the floor. Scott straightened in his seat and pulled the microphone close. Reggie returned to his seat naked, still too hot to consider clothing. Engineer Doug entered the room ready to inform them that through elaborate hand gestures so as not to disturb the recording that the air conditioner had been fixed. As he quickly scanned the scene, he gasped, both at the sight of the three men and at the smell, a fermented mixture of sprouty jizz, BO, and butthole. But at this point, feeling unencumbered and fully sated, Scott leaned in the microphone and said, "That's the show for today. Join us next week on Comedy Gang Bang when our guests will be..." And here he paused for a brief moment, making eye contact with Reggie and Paul in turn, and seeing the smiles broaden on their faces continued, Reggie Watts and Paul F. Tompkins. Thank you.
Robert Rutherford, guaranteeing three comics that will never do my show. All right. Keep it going for Christy Buccoli, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I am dedicating this piece to the ladies that were once part of the All-American Professional Girls Baseball League. a league of their own, everybody. Dottie Hinson sat impatiently as the Greyhound bus pulled conveniently right up to the baseball field. She was irritable for several reasons. First, she was supposed to be in a movie with Tom Hanks, but soon realized she would never be in the same fucking room as Tom Hanks for the entire movie, and this was her last shot at stardom, and she was probably going to die soon. Secondly, she just took a 100-mile trip on a Greyhound bus, the worst public transportation method known to man. Her family obviously didn't love her, and they were probably just hoping the grumpy old bitch wouldn't make it back home. And last, Dottie was anxious because she didn't know if anyone would recognize her. Her old teammates couldn't possibly remember her. There was rampant dementia among the ranks due to the fact that no one wore a batting helmet this entire fucking movie. And also, she was only in the league for 1 year. Also that, too. As she got her first glance at her old comrades in those sexy AAPGBL sweatshirts, those high-waisted slacks with elastic bands, and those orthopedic all-white Reeboks, she began to rub her legs together. As the loose skin on her inner thighs gained friction, she felt a tingle she hadn't felt in years. Maybe her saltwater taffy factory wasn't closed for business after all. It had been 10 years since Bob or anyone had visited the condo downstate, and her beaver teeth were chomping at the bit. As she stepped off the bus, she recognized a few faces and began to reminisce. Sure, she remembered the wins and losses. She remembered the hits and the bruises, but that's not what she thought of when she heard the phrase dirt in the skirt. The radio announcer was right when she said, "When the boys come home from war, they have no idea what type of girls they'll be coming home to." Dottie remembered the late nights where everyone would rub their peaches to climax and taste the sweet juice of ecstasy. With the shortage of men, they often used toys to pleasure each other, and Dottie remembered the many times she used a doubleheader after winning a doubleheader. As she stood watching the baseball game, Dottie looked into the bleachers and noticed a heavy-set middle-aged man that had to be Stillwell Angel. Her excitement continued to build when she thought back to the night in 1943 when she caught the boy watching her change once again, and instead of sending him away, she put him to work, sitting her hairy donut on his soft, pudgy face. And after reaching orgasm, still sitting on his face, she told the boy she hoped he enjoyed his snack, and then tilted her hips forward and took a shit in his mouth. Giving him permission to have another chocolate bar. Bringing herself back to the present, Dottie was concerned she no longer had the gumption to take what she needed from this experience. Just then, she heard someone call her name. Dottie? Just as she turned, she was confronted by a familiar situation, a ball flying at her face. She easily caught the ball. She was always an expert at catching balls, but catching them with her bare hands was her specialty. She recognized the woman on the other end of the throw, Mae Mortavito. She was hunched over in a walker with an oxygen tank, balding, haggard as fuck. But Dottie knew all the way Mae would be the only one to let her play on her field of dreams. After feigning interest in the Baseball Hall of Fame all day, as if anybody really gave a shit, Dottie and Mae made it back to the hotel that night. After a few drinks, their nervous excitement faded, and not sooner were Dottie's dentures out of her mouth was Mae's tongue enveloping her paper lips and her tongue exploring her gummy mouth. The slurping noises created by their desperation only spurred their anticipation. They began to strip, and Dottie was caught off guard by the bulk of Mae's undergarments. While initially taken aback, Dottie decided to keep pressing forward. It was too late now. She needed this. As she removed Mae's depends, she turned Mae around to get a better look at her. There she noticed the reason for her adult diaper. Both Mae's dugout and home base were completely blown out.
Jesus.
The old trick of taking a bat in her ass finally took its toll on Mae's asshole. And her asshole resembled the turtleneck of an old pink sweater. Surely she couldn't keep anything from escaping. I get it now. But Dottie also realized she couldn't keep anything from getting in either. This piqued her interest, and she pulled out a number of baseballs from her suitcase. As May sat on her knees, furiously pawing at her own granny punani, Dottie slowly slid baseball after baseball into May's old catcher's mitt. Just as May was about to reach her apex, Kit Keller and Marla Hooch entered the room. As May started coming, she started shooting baseballs out of her keister. Kit Keller, Dottie's sister, instinctually started swinging. "Lay off the high ones," Dottie ejaculated. "I like the high ones. Mule! Nag!" They giggled playfully at this extremely organic interjection of signature dialogue, and then Kit and Marla joined in the action. Marla turned May around and started aggressively scissoring with her. Kit, trying to get on the action, removed May's catheter bag and poured it all over the two lovers. May always likes some good peeing. Just as Marla was about to come, she felt May's hip crack and her leg flap lifelessly to an unnatural position on the bed. Enraged by the orgasm that eluded her, Martha instantly decided the only thing to do when scissors break is to get a new fucking pair of scissors. In one swift motion, she pulled Kit to the bed and they began rubbing their deep pinks together until everyone was satisfied and the room smelled of Bengay, old shin guards, and tobacco spit. As they sat wheezing in ecstasy, one by one, they all started crying. Because while there's no... Because while there's no crying in baseball, there is a fuck ton of crying in lesbian sex. And as they dried their eyes, Dottie happily sang the real lyrics of their favorite tune. Batter up, hear that call, the time has come for one and all to play with balls. We're the members of the All-American League. We come for ladies near and far. We've got Canadians, Swedes, but not blacks, please. We're all for one, we're one for all. We're all mostly lesbians. Thank you, guys. Christy Bugley.
And your final competitor in round one, Mr. Greg Baumhauer. There he is.
Thank you. Thank you. I am going to do How the Grinch Stole Susie Hughes Hyman. Oh, just wait. Everyone knows the story of how the Grinch's heart once grew, but 10 years had passed and his green balls turned to blue. All fucked up on whiskey and nose dripping from yay, he was walking through Hoomaw one Christmas Eve day. That's when he saw her, pants tight and shirt loose, working the counter of a local Jamba Juice. He said, "Susie, you filled out quite well," and he felt the bulge in his pants start to swell. She said, "Last time I saw you, you were stealing my toys. But you know how it is, all girls love bad boys." He stared at her cleavage and he said with a smirk, "So, Susie Hugh, what time do you get off work?" She said she'd be done in an hour and a half. So he told her to meet him at his van in the back. He decided to leave before things got too heated and whispered in her ear, "You should start drinking water. Trust me, you'll need it." So he fondled his balls as he sat in his van. Then she opened the door and he took her hand. She said, "Please be gentle. It's my first time." "Don't worry," he said. "I'll go in 1 inch at a time." Then they went back and they took off their clothes. And the smell from her snatch made him wrinkle his nose. He pulled out his tampon with his yellow teeth and settled down for a feast of curtains that looked like rare roast beast. Her pussy was a mess, if you know what I'm saying. In fact, it looked like a Salvador Dali painting. Like a melted clock covered in ants. You could smell her vagina through 3 pairs of snow pants. So then he slid it inside her, and she said, "Ow, it won't fit. Could you please pull it out and gleek it on it a little bit?" "I can't gleek, but I know it'll get you horny." And he reached in his toolbox and grabbed a can of WD-40. told you. She was all lubed up and ready to go, and he slid it inside her, this time not so slow. His penis was crooked, green and real thick. Then he pulled it out and made her lick the blood off his dick. Susie was a squirter and showed him a move he'd never seen. It's called a bidet. Then she sprayed his taint clean. This is the dumbest thing I've ever fucking done. Right. Then they heard a knock on the, from the door in the back. Opened it up, and it was the Cat in the Hat. He said with a smile, "I know what to do." Then he put his thumbs in her thing one and thing two. Susie, stop crying. Quit being a wuss. Then he put his hand inside her and threw gang signs in her puss. Like even that crazy blood one. Remember that from middle school? That one? They fucked her for hours, every way, every hole. Came in her ass, and then they went and smoked a bowl. They dropped her at home, and what else can I say? But Susie Sue's vagina grew three sizes that day. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You fill up every hole. Your balls are full of spiders. You've got herpes on your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't fuck you with Brian Cook's 3-inch freckled, scabby, hate-filled pole. Do I get my trophy now or later?
Stay right here, man. Stay right here. Let's get everybody back out from round one.
That was great, man.
All right, so I'm just going to remind you of what everybody did in order, and then you'll vote with your applause on a winner. So no voting yet. I'm just reminding you first. We started with Deacon Gray with the Avengers. Then, hold on. Then Timmy Lasley with Noah's Ark, Robert Rutherford with Comedy Gangbang, Christy Buckley with A League of Their Own, and Greg Baumhauer with The Grinch. So pick a favorite, starting with Deacon Gray, the Avengers. Timmy Lasley, Noah's Ark. Robert Rutherford, Comedy Gangbang. Christy Buckley, A League of Their Own. Greg Baumhauer, The Grinch. All right, I think between Timmy and Christy, we're going to have a runoff. Pick a favorite, starting with Timmy Lasley, Noah's Ark. Christy Buckley, A League of Their Own. Your round one champion, Christy Buckley, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations. Big hand for everybody from round one.
Well, that does it for round one. To hear round two, you can download episode 79 right now. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate on iTunes. Upcoming live shows include August 10th at the Nightlight in Oakland, California. That's a 5:30 door, 6 p.m. show. August 17th at the Virgil in Los Angeles. That is a free show. August 24th at the Doug Fir in Portland, Oregon. August 25th at the Capital City Theater in Salem, Oregon. And August 29th at the Rendezvous in Seattle. Plenty more dates. Follow me on Twitter for details at Brian Cooking, or you can follow the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.